Hi, welcome back to Call Me Negotiator, and this is your show host, Charlotte. We're live every Thursday, Vancouver time, from 4 to 5 p.m., and also to the audiences who tune in from our live streaming in China. The live streaming time will be every Friday from 7 to 8 a.m. in the Beijing time. And today we are very excited to have our guest, Abraham. He is a scientist in the nuclear physics area. I know nothing about it. I took a tour, but it was too complicated for me to understand everything. So we were going to have him to introduce a little bit about it. If you're interested in this area, then you have to be focused. And also, he has a very inspiring life story where he came all the way from South Africa to Vancouver and got the job when he was out of Canada. So the opportunity and every other skills, how he catch all those opportunity is really inspiring for us to learn. So stay tuned. And hello, Abraham.
Hello, Charlotte.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you today. And do you want to give a quick intro to our audiences about who you are, how you get here, and what are you interested in about?
Yes, of course. First of all, I would like to thank you for having me and really appreciate this opportunity.
Right.
You've given me to tell a little bit about my story. So as Charlotte have said, my name is Abraham Ava. I'm an experimental nuclear physicist. What does that mean? I study the core of the atomic nucleus.
Right.
By measuring the energy it releases, and that tells us a lot of things about the fundamentals of matter. So I started my journey back in 2002. That was when I had my first degree in physics. Then I proceeded for my master's, but I was working and doing my master's because it was self-funded.
Right.
So I needed a little bit of income to support myself. And then after my master's, I still lectured, had a background in lecturing in the university for a few years before I proceeded for my PhD in physics. So I did my PhD in South Africa. I was registered at the University of Witwatersrand, but because I was doing nuclear physics, so I was based at the Itumba Labs in Cape Town in South Africa.
Right.
So in 2023, I got a job as a postdoctorate fellow in Triumph, which is Canada's particle accelerator center.
Mm-hmm. I see. So what you mentioned about you started very early stage in learning physics, or is there any bigger area that's just connected to the specific area?
So my first degree was also in physics.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, I did my master's in physics also. Maybe just to say that my career was not I didn't follow a linear path because there was a period where I have to work, and then at the time I have to start raising a family.
Right.
Yeah. So you see that I did my first degree in 2002, but I finished my doctorate in 2020.
Mm.
Yeah, so they were. So my path was not
linear path.
Was not linear path, but it was full of experiences, and I think that built a lot of resilience in me as well.
I see.
Yeah, so just to correct, so I'm originally from Nigeria.
Oh, you're originally from Nigeria.
Yes, because when you said from South Africa, it will look as if I'm South African, but
right.
I studied, I did my PhD in South Africa, so I spent about 5 years in Cape Town. Yes.
I see. Because we only had a short conversation before this interview or this conversation in the radio station. That just gave me a quick story about where you came from. I just know that you came from South Africa.
Yes.
And it was already not easy because you found opportunities on the other side on Earth, right? And
yes.
I thought that was already very inspiring. But then now you mentioned you were originally from Nigeria. And then you... when did you get to... So when you went to South Africa, it was for your bachelor or master's degree?
For my PhD.
For your PhD.
So my undergrad was in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
My master's degree was in Nigeria.
Mm.
then it was in 2016 I decided to do, because since PhD was a terminal degree, I wanted to be trained on the state-of-the-art facilities, which we didn't have back home in Nigeria. So my MSc, my master's was also in nuclear physics. I did something on reactor physics because we have a research reactor in Nigeria. That was where I did my research work, was done at that facility. But for PhD, I wanted something much more deeper.
I see.
So I have to launch out.
I find so a few points from your story where I think, including myself and our audiences, would love to learn from, especially for how to upgrade our life, right, by catching different opportunities or pave our way. Because a lot of time, it only become clear when we look back. But when we're trying to look forward, it's really hard. And I know that a lot of our audiences, no matter they are senior fans or new fans, they keep talking about something that's make them feel stuck, which is, oh, I don't have enough money. I was not born in a rich family, or but I don't have the skill set. But from your story, I hear something that is just, you did not come from a rich family. You did not even come one of the most developed country, but you still have your prestigious position in this very reputational institution that's in, literally, I have to repeat it, nuclear science or nuclear physics. Could you share a little bit about, let's say, go back to the very early stage? Do you have to pay for the college, and how's the university or educational system works in Nigeria?
Yeah, so for my undergraduate, my father took responsibility. I was sponsored right from first year to final year. But as I was finishing my undergraduate, my father retired from the police. So, and he had done so much for me already. So I needed to give him a break. So I didn't have opportunity to get a scholarship for my master's, but I was determined to advance my studies. I didn't just want to stop at my first degree.
Right.
So I got a job with, I started teaching in high school. So I taught in high school for about 4 years.
Right.
Then, while I was teaching in high school, I enrolled in for my master's. So I was still working, sustaining myself, and then doing my master's. So when I defended my thesis and then got married, I wanted to start a family. I didn't want to wait for too long again. So after my master's, and that was the reason why I didn't proceed for my doctorate immediately.
Right.
I still have to work, because it has to be self-funded. So I took appointment with the university, and I was lecturing
right.
as a junior lecturer. Then we had our first daughter, and then we have our second son, our second child, which is a boy.
Right.
And then while I was lecturing, I tried to enroll him for my PhD in Nigeria, but I didn't get a supervisor, somebody who would supervise me based on my interest.
Right.
So I decided to look for opportunity outside of Nigeria.
I see.
And then South Africa was closer home. And then, looking at the exchange rate, it was not too expensive for me.
Oh.
So I actually took a loan from the bank.
Oh.
And then I went on studies.
Oh, I thought PhDs normally come with some fundings.
Yes, PhD come with some funding, but I needed to process my visa. I needed to pay my school fees for the first year. So it's when you enroll in for the program
right.
that you are placed on a certain allowances. So
I see.
When I went in and I enrolled in for my program, my supervisor now placed me on, because the project I was doing was a funded project. But I couldn't get the money while I was still in my country. Yeah, you could scam them, right?
Right.
So they won't just push the money into your account. You have to be committed, you have to first of all be registered and be a student and be in South Africa,
right,
to be able to benefit from the funding.
Exactly.
So subsequently, from the funding, since the project was funded by the National Research Foundation of South Africa, part of it paid my school fees, and then part of it was for my upkeep.
I see.
Yeah, so that was what happened.
So from what I hear from the stories, there are, let's say, 3 points. The first is that you really care and you understand the importance of finding the matching good mentorship, right? So the mentorship or mentor is very important. That can bring you or point you to the clear guidance or direction. That is one thing that I keep sharing with my audiences as well, and as well as our clients, because we could get wrong. And the second thing is that you make decision and pave the way one step ahead of where you are, right? Because yes, it's really hard to see I'm going to be there in 10 years. I bet that you didn't see yourself being in Vancouver when you were in Nigeria, right?
I did not. I had the intention of coming to Canada, but I wanted to. Canada was on my mind, but it was not too strong on my mind, because after my doctorate, I still went back to Nigeria.
Right.
To continue with my lecturing appointment, because I didn't resign my appointment. I only took leave of absence.
The appointment for what?
I told you that after my master's, I was lecturing.
Right.
So I took leave of absence to go for my PhD.
Oh, so you still have to go back
I still have to go back to the job I left behind.
Oh.
Because after my PhD, there was nothing to do. So I can't just stay without income. So
right.
I went back to Nigeria to lecture. But my mind was more into research than lecturing.
Right.
So I love academia, but I wanted to pursue more of research.
I see.
Although
right.
My desire is to transition into an independent researcher, and then later on combine an aspect of mentoring as well.
I see.
Yeah, because my background is, I started as a high school teacher, a university lecturer, and then now a full-time researcher. But I would like to later on incorporate an aspect of mentoring as well.
I see.
Yeah.
Right. And
so just 1 minute.
Yes.
So I told you that I was thinking about Canada, but at a later stage in my career. So I looked for some opportunities in South Africa, but they were not forthcoming. And then I got this offer, applied for the position, and based on my area of specialty, my supervisor was impressed with what I did at my doctorate, so he gave me the offer.
The offer to,
for the position in Canada.
I see.
At Triumph.
At Triumph, right?
Because
I like we said earlier, I wanted to add one part to finish up the 3 points that I learned, because I thought that was very important. The third part. For example, you mentioned that you save up, right? So you don't complain about, or you didn't complain about, oh, I don't have enough money, or I wasn't born in a rich family, so the world is unfair. Instead, you took a practical step where you save up, you find a job, but then you are looking for different kind of opportunities and gradually get further. So this is something that I really wanted to share with our audiences, because it is unfair world, but the thing is, it's not like you have no opportunity. You can just wait and nothing will happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nothing will happen in next hour, but it could happen in 5 years or 10 years if we started to solve this problem. This is the problem that I have, but then I find the specific solution for that.
Yes. My father always makes a joke. He usually tells us that heaven helps those who help themselves. Heaven helps those who help themselves.
Could you elaborate and explain
to
us?
So it means if you help yourself,
Right.
And then heaven will help you.
I see.
Because see, from his background, we are Christians. Mm-hmm. That's our background.
Right.
So he believed that we can get help from God, but we have to help ourselves. We have to make some effort for God to reward those effort.
Yes.
So that is a literal interpretation of what he meant by heaven helps those
right.
who help themselves.
Right.
Yes. So we didn't have much while growing up, and so we were disciplined.
Mm.
You know, even in terms of spending culture, you could only spend on the essentials, right?
Right.
So, and I was also blessed with a wife that was understanding, very supportive woman.
Right.
I wouldn't have been able to, because when I went for the first year of my doctorate in South Africa, I went alone. So
right.
eventually, I moved them to join me in South Africa. So we were together in South Africa. And when I got the opportunity in Canada, all of us left South Africa the same day. And we arrived here in Canada. And all of us are here together.
Right.
Yeah.
So technically, you got your work opportunity in Canada when you were physically in Nigeria.
No, in South Africa.
Oh, because I thought you went back to Nigeria.
I went back to Nigeria to lecture, right? But my mind was more into research.
Yes.
So I left my family in South Africa when I went back to Nigeria.
Oh.
So the university system had an issue with the government.
Oh.
So there was this long strike that lasted for almost 8 months.
Mm.
The university lecturers were on strike. So
okay.
I left Nigeria and I was staying in South Africa.
Right, but...
In 2022.
Right, but...
Because I wanted to also attend the International Nuclear Physics Conference, which is the largest nuclear physics conference in the world.
Mm.
So it was being hosted by South Africa in 2022.
Right.
So I wanted to attend the conference. So I came back to South Africa in preparation to attend the conference. So it was while I was in South Africa that I got the opportunity of applying for this job.
Right.
And then I was shortlisted for an interview. So I was interviewed while I was still in South Africa.
Right.
But before then, I had already done about 2 interviews with Itamba Labs. It's a particle accelerator as well.
Right.
But they only accelerate about 200 MeV. Proton beam, where at Triumph, where I'm working right now,
right,
we can accelerate up to 520 MeV proton beam. You were there, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. So the opportunity never came, but I believe that this was the place that God was arranging for me. You know, so South Africa was like a launch pad. So God used that as a training ground for me, and then he grew me in for this position where he has brought me into.
Right, I see.
Now. Yeah.
So it was really a back forth kind of process where you went back to Nigeria and there was a strike and here and there, and
yes.
you did some interview with different labs.
Yes.
And you were looking for interviews as all we do, and then you went to the conference in South Africa. However, you didn't really have a job position in South Africa, right? So I guess you would have to go back to Nigeria after the conference if you didn't get this opportunity. And I'm not so sure, but like eventually you have this 2 options where you can be back and forth, and then you have, more importantly, the networks, the people, your mentors who are looking for more opportunities because they are definitely more resourceful in the area. And then eventually, after all these trials and probably failures, you got here.
Yeah, so after the conference, there was no plan to go back to Nigeria because the universities were still on strike.
Oh.
And I was already a South African permanent resident.
Oh, you could.
Yeah, so
I
could stay there as long as I can. So it was like, it was already like home for me, you know, because I was engaged with my supervisors on certain projects and things like that, that my being around was not necessary that I was idle. I was still supporting one way or the other.
I see.
I was still visiting the lab and things like that. So I just, it gave me an opportunity to consolidate on my network. Because even the opportunity in Canada, I got to know about the opportunity through Itamba Labs.
Right.
Yeah, so if I was in Nigeria, perhaps I would have missed the opportunity.
I see. So yes. You basically hear the opportunity. It's not from newsletter or emails, right? So it's like you talk to people in person.
Yes.
Right? So that's really...
It's very important because, and in fact, that is why we attend conferences, right? You attend conferences to be able to leverage on
the information,
you get, information exchange, and then
right.
you meet people, and then you establish contacts that may lead to further future collaboration and things
right.
like that, you know.
Yeah, that's how I exactly feel with my experiences and a lot of other people that I may meet, is that although now we can get information so easily online, but how, you know, like, we still need to exchange the information and find things that's just unplanned, unexpected through the conversation, random conversation or spontaneous conversation with people we meet also unexpectedly, right? So when you came to Canada, how do you feel about all these three countries that you've been living in? Is there any comparison? And also you can talk about your field. What are the differences or different feelings when you're interacting with your colleagues and people in these three countries?
Yeah, so... I've been to more than three countries.
Right.
Yeah, because the one of the data I used for my analysis during my PhD was cutting from Australia at the Australian National University. So we through my supervisor, I got to collaborate with them. So I got the complementary data from Australia for my thesis. So I've lived in Australia for a few months, and I've lived in South Africa for almost 5 years. I was born and brought up in Nigeria. I've spent like maybe barely a month in the UK.
Okay.
You know, so, but I think Canada is, there's something special about Canada.
Right.
Yeah, maybe because of,
what is the so special? Like, can you think about, is that people? Is that
yes, the people.
The street is just clean.
No. It's nothing to do with the environment. It has nothing to do with the cleanness
right.
of the environment. But I think
right.
the people, the culture.
What is the culture? Is there anything, like, because culture is a big word, right? How can we make the conceptual word become something that's just so specific?
The multicultural
diversity
of the town, right,
is
what makes it unique. And then I feel it's more welcoming than even South Africa where I studied.
Right.
Because, as I said, because of the diversity.
Right.
Yeah, so I think the strength is what the country can pride is because of the diversity
right.
that makes that strong, because we learn to respect each other's culture, we learn to accommodate one another and things like that.
Right.
So if you are current with what is going on in South Africa, you understand what I'm talking about. I don't want to talk about it here.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
So
I
won't go
that's
into
fine.
That. No, I
okay.
won't go into that. Yes.
Right.
So when the moment we arrive here, we felt
Welcomed. I see.
We felt we're at home.
Oh, you've already
yes, because
your home.
I can tell you that for the number of years I spent in South Africa, I didn't really interact with Nigerians in South Africa. Maybe just a few, and most of them were students who came to study just like myself.
Right.
But when I came to Canada,
Right.
I saw that there is a vibrant Nigerian community here.
Oh, they have a Nigeria.
Yes, a very vibrant Nigerian community.
Community.
Here, which I never.